Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Eric, there's so much news we have to talk about. First of all, I know that super fans are probably already aware, but you and I have yet to discuss that the Real Housewives series that's coming to Peacock is filming now.
Oh my God. So this has been a rumor for a while. There's been a lot of people talking about it on the internet. We've heard rumblings internally. There are a whole bunch of women, Teresa, Melissa, Kenya, Cynthia,
Ramona,
Kyle. Luann, Kyle.
Yep.
Is that it? Did we get everyone?
I think we got everyone.
So they are all together on vacation. It's a new series that's coming to Peacock. We don't have a release date yet, but if you guys scour the internet, check out Instagram, Twitter, you might see some footage of the ladies filming together. It's a tropical location. And plus, they're posting about it on Instagram. They're being a little secretive, but definitely bathing suits, definitely drama. I'm so excited.
Have we been sleeping on Luann's body, by the way? Like, it is insane. She posted a photo of her in a white bikini, and I'm jealous.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely getting laid at the moment because she is making it a point to look fantastic.
Okay, what do you think about the cast?
Well, I think it seems like we have a couple doubles, right, from the franchises. Like, we have Teresa and Melissa,
right.
We have Kenya and Cynthia. We have Luann and Ramona. Probably a different Atlanta combo, to be honest.
I don't know. I think Kenya, like, if anyone is going to rub certain people the wrong way, I think Kenya's your girl.
Right. I think I would have kept Kenya. I might have done someone equally as neutral, like Candy. But yeah, I might have made a couple different choices. But maybe this is the start of something bigger.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, it's so funny because even as I'm looking at the photo, I'm like, God, what went into this decision? Like, first of all, it's got to be someone who's comfortable in a bikini. And for the most part, I think they picked, except for Kyle. Kyle is one that always covers up around
the pool. True.
But the rest of them, you know, love to, like Ramona, who doesn't love a bikini and heels, like more than Ramona. I'm really curious about how the Teresas and the Ramonas of this group are going to get along.
The Teresa and the Ramona of the group. Yeah, that will
be. Well, it's true. But, you know, like, there are a few personalities, like, that are, you can't have all alphas is how I feel about it.
True. Yeah.
And, yeah, so I guess I really am more concerned about it's going to be the Teresa, the Ramona, and the Kenya of it all.
Yeah. And I will say this particular group does have organic connections. Like, Luann and Cynthia are friends in real life. Melissa and Ramona are friends in real life. I think Kyle is also friends with Teresa. Like, I think they have a lot of their own personal relationships that have, you know, extended beyond the shows and all of that. So it does make more sense to bring this group together because they do have that kind of connection. But
oh, I just realized who I would want to add.
Who?
Shannon Bedore.
Listen, I wouldn't mind some OC representation. I personally would probably throw Tamara into the mix.
Oh, speaking of exciting shows to talk about, Vanderpump Rules is officially coming back.
I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen. And finally, here we are.
So we do know it's coming back. We don't know when, coming soon, but I'm ready.
Yeah, obviously some cast changes, but still a solid group of people. I mean, if you look back at last season, there were almost too many cast members. So at least this time around, it's a little more refined, but I'm excited too.
It's just going to be an interesting, no matter what. I mean, all the babies, like Lala, Sheena, they gave birth. They are mothers, and we have a video up on BravoTV.com right now of Lala, you know, not the actual giving birth, but it's everything that led up to that moment. Like, she's in the hospital with Rand, and I absolutely cried watching it. It's one of the sweetest videos.
It is actually really, really touching, and you see someone in such an intimate and delicate moment that it does make you view Lala in a bit of a different way. Because there's a video going around right now of her talking about Sheena from Overserved, like Lisa Vanderpump's new show on E! And you see Lala getting like fired up in the Lala way that she does. So watching this video of her in the hospital with Rand talking about the baby, you know, you see a different side of her that maybe we don't always see.
Wait, I don't know what video this is. Was it a preview for Overserved?
Yeah, it was essentially a clip from her appearance on Overserved. And
what'd she say?
She's just talking about Sheena and how Sheena went on her podcast and talked about not getting invited to Lala's gender reveal and all of this stuff. And it's just, you know, Lala being kind of fired up and everyone around the table being like, oh boy, here she goes. And even you can see it in Lisa. You know, Lisa's like, oh, we got Lala started again. but yeah, it's just, it's a contrast to what we see in this video on BravoTV.com.
Okay, I've been wanting to talk to you about this since I watched it, but the Below Deck Sailing Yacht season 2 mid-season super tease came out. And wow, 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 wow. Did you watch?
I did watch. And there are many layers to what we need to discuss from this super tease and what's going on in real life with one of the cast members.
Yeah. Okay. Because surprise, Danny is pregnant. And in this mid-season super tease, you have her saying, well, you know, if I get pregnant, you know, so be it. So it's like, well, wait, does that mean JL is the dad?
Right.
Because he hasn't said it. She hasn't said it. Fans are speculating because, you know, of the episodes that we're in right now and they're hooking up.
Right.
But who knows? But also, I'm just like, if I was Danny, I would feel a little odd that as I'm announcing I'm pregnant, there is a super tease that sort of hints that maybe Jaya has chlamydia. Does that mean she does now?
Like, or does where did he get it from?
And, you know, as much as I'm like, I'm glad that we're talking about it in this very sort of just like, it happens kind of way, you know, like that is not the most, it's a pretty common thing that happens. And just thinking about how it's worlds apart from how it was sort of handled among the Southern Charm cast when that whole Danny Shep thing came about.
Yep.
I love how this is so different, but at the same time, I would also be like, why'd you include that? You know, like, I don't need everyone to know.
I know. Well, I'm going to get into this a little bit in our, you know, Rose and Thorn, but we also see Danny really going through it in this most recent episode about like, what am I doing with my life? I don't know. Why am I dating this 24-year-old or not dating, but sleeping with this 24-year-old? I'm 32, blah, blah, blah. So it's really interesting the timing of her pregnancy announcement, the super tease coming out, this episode airing.
Yeah.
Like I need to really work through this timeline. But at the moment, you know, as of this recording anyway, JL has not said anything on his social media. The day that she announced the pregnancy, he was like grilling. So I don't know what is happening there. Maybe it's not connected. There could be someone else. I don't know. And maybe he got chlamydia from someone else, either on the boat or if he even has it.
Yeah. So here's that mid-season super tease now.
Oh, this is amazing.
It's so mesmerizing.
This is insanely good.
You guys all have the entire day off.
We just go out, we have a good time. Worst case scenario could be drama.
If you could change one thing about Charter, what would you change?
Daisy.
Sick of being made out to be the f***ing bitch of the group.
Now we got drama.
You reckon these girls are gonna be a pain in the ass?
Are you guys talking shit about us?
What?
If you're gonna talk shit, go somewhere else.
Every person at this table has been bullying me. It's fucking bullshit.
They're fucking fighting it.
This is the lowest point in my career. It's like serving your peers.
Yeah!
16 yachties together is terrifying. I don't want a drunken orgy.
The more I get to know you, I like you more.
Let's have sex tonight. Anything you're pregnant, that's God's will.
Obviously, not you.
I knew this would be the next stop on Gary's train.
I'm just trying to have some sex right now. Let's go, Holly.
Bitch, come and lick my vagina.
We're coming really far to starboard right now.
It is a whole show. We've got no steering. We've got no bow thrusters.
How soon is that food ready?
Oh my God, we're coming.
She's f***ing winging shit like that. It's absolutely not acceptable.
They're f***ing all saying do what they want.
She's very f***ing pissed off.
Oh my Lord.
Just like do what you want. Just leave me alone.
Put out.
Ahead.
What is this?
Oh my god, I got f***ing chlamydia again.
Oh, so there's so much news. The Real Housewives of Dallas reunion super tease we got to see this week.
Yes.
So here's that audio.
Next time on The Real Housewives of Dallas reunion.
I'm prepared.
Okay, Elle Woods prepared. Goes to court.
Yes.
Everything in life has an Excel spreadsheet.
Does it?
Including husbands.
Wow.
Stephanie, I'm not you, okay? I'm not milk toast. I'm not a doormat.
But you know what? I am a good friend.
Thank you for explaining my culture to me.
I'm not talking about your culture, Tiffany. I was talking about food.
Food is part of my culture.
Do you still deny that you bullied her?
I think bullying is a really strong word.
When I said you were a bully, I felt like you were bullying me. All season long, I felt like I was being bullied for no reason.
She never once had my back. She's a bully. She's this, she's that. I'm like, what?
I don't know what part of you felt like you weren't being yourself. You brought a blow-up doll with a large phallic object.
What is happening in your marriage?
We just told our kids.
A video was making its rounds about your husband, Brian, at a club with another woman.
We just can't make this shit up.
Since we're not going to talk about Dallas fully in this week's recaps, you know, Dallas ended in a way that, like, it was Brandy saying to her husband, oh my God, I love you and you're everything. But then you got this sort of black and white, you know, still shot of them that sort of made it seem like all is not well. And then in the reunion super tease, you see Andy being like, a video has surfaced of your husband, like, out with another woman and her sobbing.
Yeah.
And then you also hear Carrie kind of seems like she's about to say that she's getting a divorce. I mean, you know, plus we have the stuff with Cameron and Tiffany, and they have a lot to discuss. And that's the part of the reunion that I watched a lot of, and they really go at it. But the personal drama of Carrie and Brandy, who, by the way, aren't at the reunion and didn't say why.
Right.
So hopefully they address that in the actual reunion.
I mean, just from when we first met Carrie last season and seeing her dynamic with her husband, I felt like there were some rocky moments that they were going through, and it didn't look super promising to me by the end of last season. We haven't seen him as much this season, so I would be curious to get an update from her on where things are with her husband. And, you know, they were talking about their finances a lot, and she seemed to want a little bit more independence, so there were some red flags along the way, at least for me, when I was watching her first season on the show.
Well, and it's just part of the second season for a housewife is like you start getting this independence from your husband. And so if things were bumpy, you know, this kind of gives you an out, I feel, being on the show.
Yeah. Well, and also going back to Brandy and the video of her husband that surfaced, you know, I remember when that came out. And we didn't really get to talk about it too much because it was one of those very sensitive things when it comes to our talent. But I'm glad it's coming up at the reunion because I think it's important to hear Brandy's explanation, what she was aware of, how long ago it was. It did seem like an older video to me. Like it looked like it was probably at least a couple years old. And I think that they had maybe dealt with some infidelity issues back in the day that never truly made it to the show. So, you know, between the racist video that surfaced of her and now this, it's like Brandy has really a lot of explaining to do in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So we also had a bonus episode go up. I interviewed Kyle and Amanda because after the Summer House reunion part one, I really wanted some answers because I found it very frustrating to watch. And we can get into that later when we're recapping the episode. But I asked them all the things about Hannah specifically and just, you know, the whole experience in general and where things stand with the group now. So go check out that episode if you haven't already.
Oh, I can't wait to listen. The Project Runway after show from last season was actually nominated for a Webby Award. And so there's going to be a link in the description. So if you guys are Project Runway fans, please click there and vote.
All right, what are we talking about?
Okay, well, we need to talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion part one.
Yes.
We have to talk about Summer House Reunion Part 1, obviously. And we'll get into Real Housewives of New Jersey because there was some Dolores drama that I have a lot of thoughts on.
Plus, you have an interview with Margaret Josephs.
Oh, I love Marge. And of course, we'll wrap up with Rose and Thorne.
All right, Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Okay, how about this reunion starting with Andy calling out the women for eating their feelings during the pandemic and like calling out like the weight gain? I was like, oh my God. But it was very funny.
Well, ladies, last year the pandemic had everyone staying home, which meant more time with your family, your feelings, and your fridge. Whether you fought it or flaunted it, when it came to gaining the COVID-19, it seemed everyone was in the thick of it.
It was very funny, and it's very real and relatable. And we talked about it at the beginning of the season when, you know, Kenya was very open about, you know, putting on weight. And we've seen Cynthia talk about it throughout the course of the season. And it's very real. I mean, we all have been going through it in the last year and being home all the time, not getting as much exercise. It's just like we've all been there. We get it.
Also, does it count for Kenya to say that she lost all of her weight, but then say that it, like, she had the breast reduction? Like, I mean, how much does that count then, you know?
I know. I am curious about that. Like, how much weight would she, like, how many pounds would that be?
I remember on Manzoed with Children, Caroline Manzo sort of measured her boobs, and they were, like, 20 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's significant. That's a big chunk of body weight. So yeah, I mean, Kenya definitely took a little bit of a shortcut, but it seems like she also put in a lot of work to get herself back to the size that she wanted to be.
And good thing, because she's going to be in a bikini a lot for this new Peacock series.
That's true. Well, let's talk a little bit about Portia and Kenya. And we kind of start off pretty quickly in this part of the reunion about their tension this season. But I want to go back to Portia defending Kenya at the night at Niece's party, which I think really speaks to Portia's character. Like, no matter what she is going through with Kenya, she was very quick to shut LaToya down and be like, hold on, now you're talking about your friend's business that she probably wouldn't want all of us to hear right now. So I really respect Portia for knowing where to draw the line. Because she's quick to say things about somebody if she feels like it, you know, but she knows exactly what is too far.
It was funny, though, because when Andy asked about it, it was after that whole activism argument they were having.
Yeah.
And when he was like, so Portia, why'd you feel the need to defend Kenya? And you could hear it in her voice where she's just almost like, I don't even want to say anything nice about Kenya now.
Right.
Like, so I'm just going to say LaToya is crazy. So, you know, like, it was just, she was so done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame her in a lot of ways, but it does go to show that Portia does try to do the right thing and stand up for what's right in moments where other people may not.
Yeah.
I think.
So we got to address the Kenya Halloween costume.
Yes.
And I felt like Kenya was off to such a great start with that apology. It was like you really felt like she understood why it was the wrong choice. It's a culture, not a costume. And, you know, she tried to explain where she was coming from, but why. But basically, like, I learned my lesson. But then called out Drew and Portia's sister for wearing Native American costumes. And it's just like, you're an asshole. Just apologize for your behavior. Like, they weren't even coming at her. All Portia said was, you know, I wish that you would show everyone else as much grace as we show you when you have a teachable moment like this.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, she explained herself so well and then couldn't resist bringing Portia and Drew down with her. And it was unnecessary. It was uncalled for. She doubled down on it the next day on Twitter, too, and actually went and grabbed the pictures of Drew, at least. I only saw the picture she posted. And she was just like, here's an example of like why Drew shouldn't be coming for me and talking to me about what my costume was.
But Drew wasn't even coming at her in that moment.
I know.
She continues to do these things that make it very hard to like her.
Right, right. I mean, she did extend at least two apologies in this reunion. Here I am going and being a Kenya, apologist.
Well, I don't like you now.
But he did extend two apologies to Drew in this reunion. Were they sincere? I don't know. But she put them out there and Drew essentially rejected both of them.
Right.
So I'm kind of like, Drew, maybe just accept it. You don't have to forgive her. You don't have to forget, but accept it in this moment, because that's a little bit what these reunions are for, to address what happened during the season, to work through it while we're all sitting here on this stage and move past it. And I think if Drew doesn't accept those apologies or at least acknowledge them, she's never going to be able to move forward with Kenya, and it's going to bring unnecessary drama into a potential future season, you know, if Drew comes back.
You know, even though I don't want to defend Kenya, I do feel like I would be a hypocrite for calling out past things to not say that I totally got where Kenya was coming from when it came to Drew's son and that whole tweet situation, because she wasn't saying anything about Drew's son. All she was saying is that scene made her uncomfortable because she felt like it was too intimate a thing to share.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she said, oh, her son is awkward in this moment, or he's rude, or blah, blah, blah. All she was saying is like, it was kind of cringe. Like, all she did is retweet a tweet that said, it's kind of cringe to watch this.
Right, exactly. And there's something that people put in their Twitter bios sometimes, a lot of journalists that say like, retweets do not equal endorsements. Like, I feel like Kenya wasn't necessarily endorsing every part of that tweet, but she was like,
well, I disagree with that. I think a retweet is absolutely an endorsement. I think a like is an endorsement for sure.
Well, I think it's a little bit more in like the political space, like if a journalist retweets a politician or something like that. But, you know, it is interesting because you remember when we talked about that episode, that scene with Drew and her son and his father and whatever, you know, I kind of felt it was awkward too, just knowing the poor kid was sitting there with cameras and
yeah,
it was such a delicate and sensitive family situation. It was a lot. And I feel like it probably was a lot for him. And I don't feel like it's necessarily my place to tell anyone how to parent, to tell Drew what she should or shouldn't do with her child. But I do understand what Kenya meant by that, because I think we all felt that way a little bit watching this scene of like this poor kid is really going through it in front of a lot of people at the moment.
You know, but on the flip side of that, like, it's important that people are willing to share those kind of things, because that's what makes the show real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It can't just all be like parties where people are like, that stuff isn't necessarily relatable.
Right. Right. Well, and I didn't even really think of it in relation to what Candy is going through with Riley's father after all of these years. You know, I didn't really think of those parallels until it came up at this reunion. So, you know, earlier on the season, I was praising Candy for sharing that part of her story with Riley and everything that they're going through. So, you know, I kind of feel bad now if I'm being more critical of what Drew chose to do, but Riley's also grown at this point. You know, she's off to college, she's 18. So it's a little bit different, I think, you know, different circumstances, obviously, but parallel.
Yeah. Okay. So can we talk about LaToya coming out?
Obviously.
Okay. So first of all, I've been there with the UTI. So I felt so like I could feel her pain. And I was like, I can't believe she has to do a reunion. They need to be letting her drink all the water she can and take lots of bathroom breaks, because that is not fun. And to be sitting out there and the stress of it all, I just felt bad. But I was, you know, I don't think it's totally shocking that Ralph's hairstylist sort of did what she did, giving LaToya the vitamin C and stuff, because we've seen this before where the glam squad gets involved in the drama. It happened at a Real Housewives of Miami, like season 3 reunion. Oh my God,
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it's like, I kind of love it in a way, because I just feel like if I was in your squad, you know, and someone had come at you on national TV, I'd probably do the same thing. Like, you can't help but get a little bit involved, because it's not just a show, it's real life, you know?
Right, right. Well, and LaToya did come down on Drew for that. And Drew was like, I had nothing to do with that. That wasn't me. I apologize, etc. But for Drew being kind of high and mighty in a lot of situations. She seems to surround herself with sort of sketchy people who do sort of sketchy things, like record people on the phone and then deliver you.
That was just a weird part.
Right? Like, so it's a little strange to me. And I understand why LaToya was probably offended. And if Drew had nothing to do with it, it's fine. But it's getting a little suspicious about how many things are happening in Drew's camp from people that Drew knows that are affecting what's happening on the show, what's, you know, going into people's dressing rooms, the whole thing. It's a little sketchy.
Yeah.
I also thought it was interesting that Ralph came out by himself. Typically we see, you know, all of the house husbands come out at once or whatever, but I'm glad we did get this one-on-one time with Ralph, because there were things from the very first episode of the season that we learned about this Tampa trip and all of that. Now, with everything we heard at this part of the reunion, everything Ralph said, do we believe his trip was really that innocent at this point?
I guess I'm sort of with Candy in a way where I'm just like, I don't buy it, but it's not for me to buy. You know, like,
yeah,
I can't imagine that anyone has a reason to go all that way to Tampa of all places just to be alone. That's odd to me.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it still is suspicious to me as well. I think it could have been handled in such a different way if it truly were a completely innocent trip where he was like, I just need to get away for a few days. He should have handled it in a much different way. And the way it just came out on the show, maybe it was a little bit of the editing too, really didn't make him look good. So I don't know if this explanation by the end of this reunion episode really convinced a lot of people, but like you said, like Candy said, it's not up for us to buy. It's up for Drew to buy.
I will say, though, what I appreciated about his apology is he kind of said something to you addressed all the women. Like, Portia was joking and was like, well, you have to apologize to all of us now. And he did. And he was like, I'm sorry. I know that this might have triggered some of you.
Yeah.
You did.
I did
now
apologize.
I feel like you got to apologize to all of us.
I apologize to everybody that, you know, I actually struck a nerve. And I can promise you this. I will never, ever leave again without Drew.
Not say knowing. That loud,
and,
baby.
Hey,
say
that's again. What I'm going to say. I will never leave again without Drew knowing where I'm going.
And I thought that was interesting because it's kind of true. Like, that's why I think we get so invested in these dramas, because who hasn't been cheated on? Who hasn't had someone, like, you know, there are all these abandonment issues among the women too. Like, it is, in a way, you know, when a guy does something like that to a different girl, you're like, you did it to me too, okay? Like, I feel it too.
Yeah, that is true. And it's almost like he's apologizing to the viewers as well, right? Of like, right. Sorry, I put you guys through this and confused everyone and might have triggered some people.
Right.
Well, I hope this is, you know, if they come back next season, that we have a little bit of a Ralph redemption arc, because he's a very attractive man. And I want...
And he's a good dad. He is. You know, like, he is. He's so good to her son. And he does seem like a good guy who just did a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think we are missing one of the most important parts of this episode.
I was waiting for you to say.
And that is the Daily Dish shout out that we got from Andy.
Yeah, he called out the interview we did with Drew, where she sort of alluded that there was some housewife. Like, if you listened to the interview, you knew who she was talking about.
Right.
But alluded to a certain housewife being a little too flirty with Ralph. And obviously she was talking about Kenya. And I love that. It was so exciting.
Drew, on Bravo's Daily Dish podcast, you said one of your fellow housewives, not mentioning names, had crossed the line when it came to your husband, giving him googly eyes. I don't find that attractive. I find it disrespectful. Who are you talking about?
I know. It was so exciting. I was like, oh my God, there we are. That's us. So that was an interview you did with Drew, right? Because I don't think I spoke to Drew on the show. Yeah. It's interesting because this isn't the first time we've heard that about Kenya or seen that from Kenya, right? Apollo.
Well, yeah. I mean, Apollo, for sure. It's just, I don't know. I have to say, of all of the things I could be accused of, one thing I would never want to be accused of is being too flirty with my friends' partners, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even if the intent wasn't there, I would never even want it to look like that for a second. except for Danny. That's a little different.
Well, that's allowed. He appreciates that. It's interesting because we've never heard the same from Cynthia and Mike or Candy and Todd. So I think Kenya is a little more strategic.
Oh, for sure.
With her flirtation. You know what I'm saying?
That is such a great point, because it's like, yeah, she now apologizes that she did it to Phaedra because she's like, Phaedra and I weren't friends. Well, you and Drew aren't friends, so it makes sense you would flirt with Ralph too.
Right, right. I don't know. I would flirt with Ralph too. I would.
I mean, my gosh.
But I would also flirt with Mike Hill, and I would probably flirt with Todd if given the opportunity. So.
Right. I don't think you flirt with the person you, I don't know. To only flirt with the person you actually want to bang, like, it's just kind of, ugh.
You got to cast a wider net. You got to flirt with everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, next week we get Marlo, thank goodness. I think she's going to come out and shake some things up, and we'll get a little bit more with LaToya, plus Shamia. But you know who we're still missing from this whole thing, Megan?
Oh, yes.
Tanya.
Where are you, Tanya? Tanya.
Someone find her.
Oh my gosh.
Summer House?
Please.
Okay. You know I love Carl.
I do.
But I think Steve Gold and several other members of the male BravoLeb community would like a word about that award from Two Judgy Girls.
So, by the way, didn't Andy say that, like it was just each year it happens? Because didn't he say, like, Luke had already won or something?
Oh, maybe he did. Yeah, maybe they do it every single year.
Yeah.
And if so, give it to Carl.
That's fine. But, yeah, Steve Gold, hands down.
I know.
I like Carl. He's actually not my cup of tea, physically speaking. So there are a lot of people I would choose before that. But, hey, that's what makes the world go round. Lots of different opinions.
It's true. And quarantine Carl has really stepped up in terms of his appearance, his energy, the whole thing. So I do understand why he got this. But I definitely think there are plenty of other male BravoLebs that would rank on that list too. I need to actually check out the full list because I'm sure I agree with most of what they picked.
Also, I do worry that Kyle's body didn't get enough attention this season. It was looking really good.
Yeah, he's in very good shape.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Hannah and Paige were co-hosting with me earlier this season, they said he worked out all the time, so it's not like it's effortless, like he tries for it, but right. Still good on him.
Yeah Oh, and Luke too. I mean, chopping all that wood is paying off. Yeah. A lot of good bodies in the summer house.
So getting into the actual drama of it all, you know, Hannah took a beating this episode. I'll continue to get into that. So I do want to say that, like, you know, Lindsay was really vocal. You know, she didn't hold back when it came to everything she was thinking. And when she was saying, when we were getting into the Luke and Hannah drama and, like, what really happened, like, what was the deal? And she's sort of shouting at Hannah, like, you were f***ing another guy.
You were dating somebody else.
Yeah, you were dating.
You were literally f***ing somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a shamey thing, by the way. It's just saying, how can you say that he was leading you on while you were playing the field? It's very odd. And I don't feel like I don't feel like Hannah was getting what people were saying either. It just seemed very...
No.
I don't know. Like ships passing in the night.
Right, right. Well, listen, Hannah came into the house. She didn't lie about what was going on. She just didn't tell the whole truth. She didn't really make it clear that she was single. She was seeing guys. She had been talking to Dez. She kind of started the summer coming into the house being like, I think things might spark up again with me and Luke. And that was all we heard. And that was what Andy kind of mentioned when he was like, well, don't you see how it looked on the show that you came in? It looked like your intention was to get back with Luke, start things up with Luke again. There was some potential there. So we just didn't really get the full picture. And that is Hannah's fault, you know?
Yeah.
Because now we all know more than we did at the start of the summer, but she knew it the whole time.
Right.
Well, as it relates to Hannah and Luke and everything that they went through the previous summer and all the, you know, baggage they brought with them coming into this summer, somebody brings up about, you know, a blowjob and how they had never had sex, right?
Oh, right. He had gone down on her for hours. She gave him two blowjobs.
And I forget who on the cast it is, but somebody's like, well, isn't a blowjob more intimate than sex?
I think it was a viewer question.
Luke Cameron from LA said, Hannah said she gave you a blowjob twice. Some might say that is actually more intimate than sex. Why stop there and not go all the way? Hashtag America wants to know.
That is news to me. Is that a thing? Is that, would you say that too?
So this is interesting. I would not say a blowjob is more intimate than sex, but I would say a guy going down on a girl is.
Okay.
Because I was even reading this article on The Cut, and it was like from a guy who's a serial cheater. And he was like, yeah, I cheat on my girlfriend all the time, but I do it with boundaries. And he was like, I'll never.
Oh, well.
I know. It was a very interesting read.
In that case.
But he's like, I'll never go down on other women. I save that for my fiance. And I was like, well, I don't agree with a lot that you're doing, but I will say I get that to a certain degree. Like, I was even watching this episode of Sex and the City, and it's when Samantha walks in on Richard going down on another woman. And there's something about walking in on that that's like somehow worse in a way, you know, because you can't just like mindlessly, soullessly be doing it. You're up in there, you know, like you're putting the work in.
I just got such an interesting visual when you were like mindlessly and soullessly, like just got like this like boring, like a zombie eating out somebody or something. I guess I understand that point. I think that makes a little bit more sense. It's probably a little different in my exclusively gay experiences. You know, there are certain acts that would be considered more intimate than others. But to me, a blowjob is like, that's like second base.
Oh, I agree with that, though. I really do agree with that, though.
I don't know.
Either. I don't know. But I will say, not to let Luke off the hook, because Sierra gave a crazy story about him, about how after her second trip to Minnesota, like, yeah, it was clear we weren't really going to be anywhere. We were just hooking up as rebounds. But that he fully ghosted her for 8 months because he got back together with his ex is insane to me.
And then truthfully, like after the second Minnesota trip, I got ghosted and like he blocked me on all social media platforms for like 8 months.
Lucas.
And I didn't hear from him.
Why did you do that?
I understand that there's an instinct to kind of want to separate yourself from anyone you're hooking up with, because, you know, like you don't want your new person or I guess old person in this situation to get jealous. But I think there's an adult way to do it. And I will give an example. When we were celebrating the win of Biden, like everyone in New York was out and about. And I saw a guy that I had gone out with and he was with someone. And I was like, oh my God, hi. And I just waved him from a distance. And he sort of like quickly waved to me and kept walking. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then he texted me and said, hey, I'm with my new girlfriend. We're kind of in a fight right now. And I didn't think it was a good time to introduce her to an ex. Mm. And I was like, that is totally understandable. Totally okay.
Yeah.
I like that you think I'm pretty enough that she would be upset by me. But also, like, that's an adult way to handle it. Like, you don't just treat someone like shit and keep walking. You know what I mean? Like,
you communicate.
You can be an adult about it and be like, oh, this is the situation, FYI.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Yeah. No, see, here's what I think about the whole thing. I am currently on an Instagram break again. And
I messaged you and you didn't message me back.
Oh, yeah, no, don't take it personally. Anybody listening to, because I do message a lot of our listeners. I have like really good relationships with some of our listeners, but you know, we exclusively message on Instagram. So I'm off of it right now because it's for me, you know, I need a break. It's for mental health reasons, whatever. So, you know, for Luke to actually take the steps to block her from all of social, it's not even just ghosting. It was like blocking her so that he couldn't reach out to her. But rather than doing that, because that will hurt someone's feelings if they figure out you've done that, just delete Instagram, delete Twitter, stay off of social media yourself, like take responsibility for yourself and don't bother doing something that might hurt someone that you really cared about, you know? And then to wait 8 months to finally explain it to her, if he had done what this guy did to you of like, hey, just so you know, I'm going to be off of social media for a while. I'd like some distance. Let's touch base, you know, in a few months from now or something. Like, that's how you do it.
Correct. Correct. Ugh. I will say the Hannah and Kyle stuff really revved me up. And that's why it was so important to me to have the bonus episode with Kyle and Amanda. Because, again, I feel like this is a situation where Hannah can't just be still and silent. And Andy was trying to help her. He was like, they are giving you constructive criticism right now. Like, they are explaining why this summer was not good for you. And for her to bring up, for her to continually say, well, Kyle was yelling at me, Kyle, the toxic masculinity. And Danielle was absolutely right. She was like, Hannah, this stuff didn't just happen to you. You brought it on yourself.
What have I ever done
things
to you?
Things weren't just happening to you,
Danielle,
Hannah.
What have I
and
done
you're,
to you?
And you're trying, like, besides, honestly, the
she's giving you constructive criticism.
Weren't happening to you. You were creating the things that were happening. That is what was going on. And watching it back, I did not appreciate it, like it. Honestly, with the Amanda stuff, I'm restraining myself because you are not a good friend.
Danielle was absolutely correct. This stuff doesn't just happen to Hannah. Hannah brings it on herself. And, you know, we've kind of talked about this when we talk about Vanderpump Rules, because the girls and the guys are always getting into it. And I've said it before, and I still agree personally, this is just my personal stance, a man shouldn't yell at a woman. However, that doesn't give Hannah license to yell at or say whatever she wants to Kyle.
Yes.
And also, an example that I really felt upset we didn't dig into enough was when Kyle was like very calm and clearly said, you know, I just feel a little weird that you're comparing me to your dad. And then Hannah goes off like, don't you ever fucking talk about my dad. Hannah, like, he wasn't even yelling at you in that instance. You can't keep saying he's the problem.
Well, and she brought up her dad first, which, so that didn't even make any sense.
It didn't make any sense. And I just feel like, again, she keeps being like, well, Carl, what did I ever do to you? Danielle, what did I ever do to you? It's not about that, Hannah. They are saying, look, as observers of the situation, we can tell you you're wrong. And she's like, well, why are you attacking me? No, Hannah, you can't just act however you want and not expect people to not have an opinion.
Right, right. Now, Danielle is such the voice of reason on this show. And I kind of had trouble in the last couple of episodes, or a lot of the season, with the Hannah versus Kyle of it all, because like you, I don't necessarily agree that like men should be yelling at women, but that doesn't give Hannah an excuse to be able to yell whenever she feels like it. So it was actually really helpful for me to see and hear Danielle step in with the savage truth of it all, because I was like, well, if Danielle is saying it, then that's like, then I agree, because she is so rational and realistic and together and has known so many of these people for so long that she can really see the whole situation from a bird's eye view, whereas like Hannah and Kyle and Amanda are so close to the situation that it's hard to sort of dig into. So I just loved that Danielle was not letting Hannah off the hook, was holding her accountable, and was standing up for what's right. And the whole line where she was like, always been there for her as a stretch in relation to Hannah's friendship with Amanda.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. I was like, Danielle is not holding back, and I appreciate it.
It just was also frustrating to watch because, again, Hannah is just she can dish it, but she can't take it, because she was getting heated. But the second anyone else got heated, she started the waterworks. And it's not that I don't think they're real. I think that's like her honest reaction to being sort of the target, but at the same time, it's unfair in an argument.
Yeah.
Because you're now saying that no one else can ever say anything.
Right, right. I think what's happening here is that Hannah is just being exposed for some real fake behavior. And what it comes down to is a little, you know, breaking the fourth wall in that this core group of people, Kyle, Amanda, Carl, Lindsay, Danielle, you know, they are truly friends. like truly friends. They started on this show together. They've been on the show for 5 years. They have built real solid relationships with each other that are authentic. And I think Hannah in the last couple years has been really reckless in her behavior and the things that she's said and done outside of the house, like on these different podcasts and doing press. Like, I think she's leaned too far into, I'm on a reality show, so anything I say is just good press for the show. So I don't care if it upsets someone, if it hurts someone's feelings, whatever. Like, this is part of the job, right? This is what I get paid to do. And everyone else on that stage is like, hold on a second. Yeah, we get paid to be on this show, but we have each other's backs and we genuinely care about each other. And we're not feeling that from you right now.
Right. I think it also, you know, part of it is that she fancies herself a comedian.
Right.
And therefore thinks, well, you know, that's just part of it. You cross boundaries sometimes, you know, you cross the line sometimes. And it's like, you still have to be responsible for the things you say.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what happens at reunions, is all of the things that you've said and done that have upset people are going to come out. And it's your opportunity to take accountability, apologize, and move on. And she had a lot of opportunities to do that in this episode and didn't really take as many as she should have.
So did you see that our friend Danny Pellegrino tweeted about the interview Hannah did?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
So after the reunion super tease dropped and we see Carl saying, like, you called me a drug addict. And she's like, no, I didn't. Danny posted a transcript of an interview that she did with him.
Receipts.
And then he ended up deleting it. And he's like, I don't want to be messy. But yeah, it was an interview she did with him. Now, again, reading it is different from hearing it, you know? So, like, it could be that she was joking, but that certainly doesn't come through in a transcript of something.
Well, no. Yeah, that's definitely not appropriate.
But still, that's going to be a very sensitive subject for him on a lot of levels, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and that's what I love about Danny Pellegrino is that he is so great at interviewing and he gets such great interviews and he's very careful about not upsetting anyone, but he does always want to do what's right and support what's right. And, you know, I get tweeting it and then deleting it and whatever, but, you know, that's an important part of Hannah's story in the last year or so, because I think it all contributes to why the cast is so upset with her. It's not just what happened in the house last summer. It's all of it put together.
I almost feel bad for Paige because she at a certain point looks like such as much of an asshole for supporting Hannah. But I like that she was like, look, she did some bad things, but she's a good person. And it's just like, yeah, but you have like five people on stage telling you all the things that she's done wrong, you know, like, and she's not really taking responsibility, it feels like to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's one of those moments too, where Paige knows that who else has Hannah's back in that moment? Sierra seems to, which that's still a new budding friendship. But Paige probably felt really compelled to stand up for her because nobody else was going to do it in that moment.
And yeah.
Paige might disagree.
Yeah.
Which I think she does. And we did see her take a step back from her situation, you know, with Hannah in the last summer. Just all of the stuff that was happening. Paige was like, I'm just going to stay in bed and mind my business and not share my opinions with Hannah too much. Because it is true. She doesn't have to be a mom. She shouldn't have to be Hannah's mom. And you can't be critical of every decision your friend makes if you don't agree with it.
It's also just not fun. It's not fun for her, you know?
Paige was also giving me those, like, those bangs. I didn't love Paige's look.
Curtain bangs.
Yeah, the curtain bangs, which Jackie Goldschneider was giving this season early on Jersey. And I don't love them.
They're all the rage right now.
But, like, are they? Should yes. they be?
Should they be? Is maybe the question.
I don't know. I just, like, they're just confusing to me. What are they doing there?
Are you bangs or are you not? Like, what are you?
Right, like, what are you?
Hot take. I am very much ready for part two of this reunion. I just want to see what I just don't think there can be a resolution with Hannah. I could be wrong, but even just like the sneak peek of Amanda being like, what friendship? I'm just very excited for.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see the emotional bromance moment between Carl and Kyle.
Oh, yes.
Jersey?
Yeah.
Okay, of all of the guys on Jersey, if you had to choose, whose ass would you kiss and why?
Wait, do I have to pick a guy? Because, ew, no offense.
Yes, because it is the golf trip and these men are kissing each other's butts.
Evan.
Same. I mean, everyone knew that I was going to say that.
Yeah.
But Frank Catania is a close second. Just like a cheek, though. It's just, you know, you don't have to like get in there. Just a little cheek kiss.
I would personally choose Melissa Gorga, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Teresa has a nice butt, too, though.
She really does.
Now I'm thinking about everybody's butt. Okay, well, continuing on with the Joe Gorga being the seventh housewife thing.
Yeah.
You know, he is out here spreading Teresa's business to the guys while they're golfing, then to, well, he had to tell Margaret and Joe because he had already revealed it while they were golfing. But like, she's not ready. Why are you sharing this with everyone and on camera?
I wonder, you know, I think part of it is he's excited for her. And I think maybe he's also just so mad at Joe Giudice at this point that he's just like, if I say it, it's real. And I'm ready for this relationship to be real so we can be done with Joe, you know?
That's interesting. Yeah, that's true. And Joe was actually one of the first people to mention Teresa's boyfriend. Wasn't it in the last episode or was it in this one?
Oh.
I don't remember. But on the phone, he basically was like, well, you know, I'm seeing someone, you're seeing someone.
Yeah.
We got that first kind of hint there. But I guess you're right. Joe Gorga is probably happy for Teresa, wants to put Joe G in the past and move on.
Right.
Okay. So we get to Michelle's cocktail party.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot going on here that I want to break down. The first thing is, are we seriously minimizing the fact that David got Dolores a fucking Porsche?
I don't want to ever talk behind your back, so I'm going to be honest with you right now. I heard that someone bought you a beautiful present, but there's a couple people who feel like...
Nothing.
Is that like a... Not a couple?
What?
No, a couple of people.
Who? Speak, bitch. Who?
No, you and Teresa thought. Not just me, Teresa. Michelle, John, Evan, and Jackie. Yes, it might be a little salt to the ring. Were you crushed that you didn't get a ring and you got a car? No! A ring, a Porsche, a car, a f***ing house doesn't mean
Here's the thing. I'm going to bring up Vanderpump. But do you remember, like, it was understandable how Katie and Stassi, remember, they had it with Kristen because they were like, you complain about your boyfriend all the time, but you guys are still together.
Yeah.
I can understand if that were the situation. But Dolores doesn't complain about him. She doesn't complain about that she's not engaged. She doesn't complain about that, you know, David doesn't come to things with her. She just happily brings Frank instead. She doesn't complain. So what is their problem? Like, I get it. I get when you have a friend that you feel like is not with the right person. We have all been there. But unless they're asking for your advice, leave it alone.
Right, right. And it's one of those things where they don't leave it alone. And then they start talking about it even more. They recruit some more people, start polling everyone. It's sort of Melissa and Michelle who seem to be behind this. Like, what do you guys think? Do you think that this is a stalling tactic, that he's getting her this Porsche so that he doesn't have to get her a ring? And it's so ugly to me and a little bit high school. You know, it just doesn't seem like something true friends would do to each other. And, you know, I have the interview with Margaret later on in this episode, and we talk a lot about that because Margaret is the only one who comes to Dolores's defense in that moment. And I felt so bad for Dolores and then for Margaret for being the only one there who's trying to be like, why are we talking about this? Like, no, it's not a stalling tactic. It's a Porsche. He got her a fucking Porsche.
Yeah.
Like, let's just celebrate that for a second. That's an amazing gift.
All right. Let's say it is a stalling tactic, though. My question is, do you think that they are right for each other or not? Because if they don't think that they are right for each other, why are you pushing for them to get engaged? Like, he's not going to be the right guy for her because he gets her a ring.
Right.
And maybe that's why they're not engaged, because they're still trying to figure it out. Like, if they are meant to be. So I just don't understand why, if on one hand you're saying he's not the guy for you, you know, you deserve someone better. Then on the other hand, you're also being like, why hasn't he proposed yet?
Right. It doesn't make any sense. And I think I talked about this with Margaret in the interview, but at the psychic party, Gina Marie says that David is not Dolores' soulmate, right?
Right, right.
But I think that's okay. And I think Dolores is okay with that too, because it's pretty clear, I think, to everyone who's ever watched this show, including Giselle, because this is what she said, that Dolores and Frank may be soulmates.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean she cannot be happy with David and that she can't have a life with David. And just because there's no ring, it doesn't matter. Dolores seems to be doing exactly what she wants to do. She's got all these houses. She's got all these men in her life who are supporting her, having sex with her. You know, I mean, just David's having sex with her as far as we know. But she's getting all of these, her boxes checked by what's happening in her life. So I just don't understand why people can't just be happy for her.
Yeah.
Why they have to be so critical of her relationship and the way David treats her.
For my second Sex and the City reference of the episode, it's like when Charlotte said, what if we're all each other's soulmates and boyfriends are just these great guys we can have fun with?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that way about a lot of my friends, you know, I really do. And I have for a long time. And I think you can have all sorts of different kinds of connections with people, and who you choose as your romantic partner is can be separate from that.
Yeah.
I also didn't love in this episode how Michelle invites this guy for Teresa, but it's pretty clear Teresa's like all up in Louis's business at this point. She has no interest in this dude. So then they suggest, well, maybe we should send him after Dolores. No, she's still in a relationship. Just because it's not up to your standards doesn't mean you can send some guy over to her to start flirting with her. Like, in the same breath that you're talking about her boyfriend buying her a car. Come on.
Yeah. Very... It's a lot.
It's way too much. I'm feeling very protective over Dolores at the moment, particularly.
I can sense it.
Well, particularly the way this episode ends and just all of them standing around that table, the cameras are on. Joe Gorga's over here calling her a broken woman and saying all of these things. I'm like, leave her alone. Why is everyone ganging up on her in this moment? Is it coming from a place of love and concern and friendship? Or is it just like, that's the talk of the party. That's the gossip of the party. Let's just keep it going. Because Melissa's clearly got some alcohol in her. So I think that's just fueling this whole thing. But to see Dolores storm out like that and curse everybody out and be like, Frank, let's get out of here. You know, that's not how we see Dolores react a lot to the people that she cares about the most in her life. So she obviously... they were pushing her buttons, and I think they pushed too far.
Agreed.
I love you like a brother, but you ruined her because...
I don't think I'm broke!
See, this is a broken woman.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
Oh my God!
You are broken because...
I'm a Neanderthal. Listen, like yourself, would think I was broken.
If I got cheated on, Melissa cheated on, I'd be broken.
Chauvinist Joe. You're being a chauvinist. He was. In that moment, he was.
Yeah. It wasn't good.
It wasn't good. In the after show, actually, Frank Catania jokes about how he had just put together a really nice plate of food and was like so ready to just like dig into it. And Dolores was like, Frank, we're getting out of here. And he's like, damn it. Every time this happens, every time we have a party, I never get to eat.
Oh, he needs to eat.
Frank. He's a hungry man. He's a large man. He needs fuel. So I spoke with the lovely Margaret Josephs from Real Housewives of New Jersey all about her new book, the drama between her and Jennifer, and that showdown at Michelle's cocktail party. Let's take a listen. All right, guys, we are here with one of my all-time faves, Margaret Joseph. What's going on, Margaret?
Hi, Eric. Oh, just everything and anything. I mean, listen, my book is out, reunion, you name it, everything.
You name it, it's going up. Well, also, happy belated birthday, because I know I missed your birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. It was Aries season.
You're welcome. Well, I want to go back a little bit before we talk about what's happened in recent episodes to the psychic reading, because we love a psychic reading on Housewives, right? It's just always going to be a good episode.
Yes.
Tell us more about your relationship with Jan's father.
Yes, I could not believe when Gina Marie came out with Bernie Josephs. I was in shock, because it had to be totally legit, because who would come up with that? I mean, no one's going to be looking that up. I was extremely close with Jan's father. I always say I was like his daughter. He was really the patriarch of our family. He was the most generous, kind man. I adored him. I always say he saw my magic. He believed in me. And I just loved him so much. So for her to come out with that was pretty unbelievable.
Did you go into this experience with this like kind of open heart, open mind, and like hoping to connect with anyone in particular?
I went in with open heart, open mind, not knowing who I would connect with. My grandparents, who I was extremely close with, were both dead. My mother-in-law had also passed a few years ago. Bernie had passed a little while ago. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, truthfully.
Yeah. Well, whose reading were you most surprised by? Because everyone got a really intense and emotional reading from what I thought.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think I was most surprised, I'm going to ask, about mine and Dolores's.
Yeah.
Because she spoke about Dolores's dog and about her uncle Pee-wee, which I don't even know if we saw that on air. It was just absolutely crazy. She just touched on everybody. I mean, how did she know that Jackie's grandmother's name was Esther?
Well, the one thing I will say about that is when you see Jackie at home with Evan, Evan's like, well, 90% of grandmothers in, you know, Jewish families are named Esther. So like,
I know. Well, I mean, our grandmother, you know, my mother-in-law was Miriam. So it could, you know, there's still a lot of names.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like just watching her go around and the things that she was saying to each one of you just felt so legit. It felt so real. And just like, I think as a viewer, we all got emotional watching you guys get these readings.
Yes, I agree. I was stunned and I thought she was amazing.
Especially with Dolores and the dog. I mean, anytime you bring a dog into it, it's like, oh.
I know. Boo. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Dolores was, I never see Dolores break down like that.
I know, but the animals will do it to you.
They will. I know. My Bella is my favorite family member.
Oh, we love Bella. She needs to update more on Instagram. We talked about this at the after show.
I know. I have someone running her account. We've been locked out because we forgot Bella's password. Bella must have changed it. She's very funny.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the yacht party, because you get to read an excerpt from the book in front of all of the women. So how did it feel to read that aloud to them?
It felt very vulnerable. And to be honest, they cut the excerpt a little short. It was a little deeper.
Uh-huh.
So it felt good to read it, but I felt very vulnerable. But it was just letting them into a bigger slice of my life. So I was happy to read it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you feel a sense of kind of relief or release or anything like once you finished the reading?
I felt like, you know what, this is what I, you know, something that happened at a time in my life. I wanted everybody to know this was extremely common. I think a lot of people do know about it. It's stuff that went on in the workplace. I think when I had mentioned it, I mentioned it briefly. I didn't get deep into it prior. So I just wanted them to know what was going to be in the book. It was a sense of relief, but it was also just, you know, so they got to know me a little deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jennifer apologizes pretty quickly. And then in the conversation you guys have, she opens up about what she's going through with her family. So at this point, did you know everything that was going on with her parents and her dad living at her house?
I knew her dad was living with her. I didn't know how deep it was and that her mother was suffering so terribly.
Yeah.
I felt bad for her, you know, to hear about her mother being so upset.
Right, right. And I think, you know, she talks a little bit more about like the context of maybe why when you guys had fought about it, like why it upset her so much, or she didn't quite understand exactly what you were going through. So did you feel like you guys kind of came back onto a level playing field in her apology?
I think, you know what, I think we're very different people. And I think that's really what it is. Yeah, I mean, I hope that it was that. But yeah, I mean, I hope that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give it with them.
Well, we touched on this a little bit during the after show, but why don't you think that Teresa comes to Jennifer's defense as often as Jennifer defends Teresa?
I think Teresa lets everybody fight their own battles.
Yeah.
I do feel that that's what it is. You know, sometimes I think she doesn't always agree with Jennifer either, but she won't admit it. So right. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like we often see Jennifer chime in, you know, on things that may not relate to her. But I think Teresa kind of only speaks up when she feels like she has to defend herself or someone in her family. You know, it won't necessarily be another, you know, cast member, so to speak.
Yes, I feel like Teresa just, I think she feels like she fights her own battles. She doesn't fight everybody else's. Not that she doesn't. Yeah, I sometimes don't always think that she even agrees with Jennifer, but she's not going to go against her.
Right, right. I see that. Well, getting a little bit into the book, we see that you and Marge Sr., you know, you have a really emotional conversation about growing up and, you know, what you went through in your 20s after she reads the book. So in this conversation and having Marge Sr. read everything that you would put in the book, do you feel like you guys have had a breakthrough in a sense?
I feel like Marge Sr. and I have had a lot of therapy over the years, Eric. And I feel like, you know, and I do feel like we had a good breakthrough with the book. I think there was things I had never told her. There was things in the book I've never told anybody. You feel shame with certain things. And also my perspective on Marge Sr. growing up. I mean, she was 20 years old when she had me. I mean, that's a young girl in college, truthfully, now. I don't think she ever saw it through my eyes. And when you read it back and it's in print, it is, you know, very eye-opening. And I think it was a great moment for us when I watched it back on the show. It was even more emotional for me. But I think it really was cathartic for both of us. So it was a great moment for both of us.
Do you find yourself going to Marge Sr. more often now than you ever did when you were younger for advice or just letting her know what's going on in your life?
I tell her what's going on in my life. I always like her as a sounding board, or if I'm upset about, I always tell her when I'm upset about something.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. We never had that mother-daughter relationship where I was asking her for advice. I had to be confident in my own judgment. So it's not that kind of relationship. You know, sometimes I'll ask her for advice on certain things, but I think based on our relationship, it's not like that. It's funny.
Right, right. Yeah. It's not as traditional mother-daughter as perhaps some other.
Yeah, it's not traditional mother-daughter. I ask Joe for a lot of advice.
Right, right. I mean, I can't blame you. I would ask Joe Benigno for advice any day.
Joe Benigno is very level-headed.
Which is why we like him on this show.
compared to his wife.
Well, I want to talk about the Tea Party because, you know, as a fan and as a viewer, it was really heartbreaking watching Teresa get so emotional at the event. You know, how did you feel in that moment? What was it like in that room just seeing her get so upset?
You know, we were all crying. We were all very, very upset. I was heartbroken for Teresa. It's just, I saw her fall apart and I was literally, I got a stomachache immediately. All of us were crying. We all were heartbroken for her. And she just loved her mother so, so much. And the way she was a great daughter. She is a great daughter. She was a great daughter. She's a great mother. And that was a hard day for her.
I was a little surprised she even agreed to go because, you know, Jen brings it up, I think, at the yacht party. She invites all of you guys to the tea party. Mm-hmm. And I loved the concept of the event. It was really to show her mom, Josephine, like, all relationships look different. You know, people live without their husbands and all of that. So I loved the concept. I thought it was a really good thing for Jennifer to do. But, you know, for Teresa to agree to go, I was like, oh my God, I mean, she's going to be the only one there without her mom. And just, I felt so sad knowing that she was going to be there and then seeing her get upset was just like.
Yeah, I thought maybe if she brought Gia, she would have felt better. Yeah. But I don't think Gia was around. I felt horrible, horrible for Teresa. We all were devastated and very, very upset for her. It was a hard day.
And did she go right from Jennifer's party to visit her mom's grave?
Yes, that's exactly what she did. She went right to the cemetery. It was upsetting. She was shaky. She said she had a stomachache all night. She had anxiety. It was very upsetting. I felt horrible for her.
Yeah. Well, and of course, she's still grieving the loss of her father, too. I mean, that wasn't that long ago. So there's a lot going on.
It was terrible.
Well, also at the event, Jennifer spills what the psychic said about David in front of Dolores's mom. So was that just like another foot in the mouth moment for Jen? Like, what was going on there?
She just has excessive diarrhea of the mouth. I don't get it. She's missing like the filter, the chip, the filter. Yeah, I just don't think Dolores, I don't think it was the time or the place.
Well, and Dolores's mom had kind of a hesitant reaction and response when they brought up David. She was like, well, he's a good doctor. You know, it didn't even seem like she was all in on David, which, you know, she's entitled to her opinion, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think Valerie is the voice of reason. I love Dolores's mother, but I think she wasn't going to say anything negative about David. She wasn't going to chime in about the relationship. I think Valerie, you know, is not going to say anything in a public forum about David and their relationship. I think she thinks he's a good person and he's been very good to their family. And I think they keep their relationship kind of private.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I love Dolores and David. I think if it works for them, it works for them. And, you know, I do want to get into what happens at, you know, Michelle's cocktail party, because I'm very curious about what you think, because you were one of the only people to defend Dolores. But before we get into that, we see the guys, they all go golfing. There's like all of these like funny pranks that they're doing and they're hanging out. And this is where Joe Gorga reveals to your husband that Teresa is in love.
Yes.
So, and this is something you had been suspecting for a really long time. So talk about the timeline here. When did you first start to suspect Teresa was involved with someone up until then, this moment when you find out she's with Louis?
I mean, call me psychic, but, you know, I was thinking she was involved with someone even right from the beginning, right after Evan's party, even in Lake George. She was too... even though she was too perky, too smiley.
Right.
I mean, it was good. I mean, I was happy to see her that way. She was light in her feet. Even though everybody was arguing, she looked great. She had a glow about her.
Yeah.
I could see she was happy. Like I said, she wasn't posting photos when she said she was somewhere. She's always posting photos of their daughters when they're away. And then
she, it was the soccer tournament thing, right? Where you were like,
Yes, and then she did trip up. She originally told me it was Gabriella's or Audriana's. And then she said it was Gabriella's. It was one, or she told me it was Gabriella's, then it was Audriana's. She forgot her line.
Right. She flopped there.
which is fine. And you know what? She said she held it close to her chest because she wanted to make sure it was real. And I understand that. I would, you know, but we wouldn't have all driven her crazy and Michelle would have tried to set her up with someone if everybody knew that she was involved.
Right, right. Well, it must be so difficult, like being Teresa, being as famous as she is, coming off of this, you know, intense marriage that has played out over the years. And then the very first guy that you start to have feelings for, it must be so hard to try to not just introduce him to your family and your friends, but it's the whole world.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's going to be under scrutiny, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that it's very hard to live your life in the public eye, especially to start a new romance.
Right, right. So what can you tease us about Louis? I know we're going to get to meet him later on this season a little bit. We've seen him on Instagram. They seem very happy.
Yes, I mean, he never had, I haven't met him yet, but I only know him through Instagram.
Okay, so fair.
That's the whole thing. It's like, he never had a public Instagram, but now he has one. And it's blown up because everybody's so interested and he declares his love for Teresa. So it seems like they're very much in love.
Right, right. Okay, well, we got to get him in like a group setting, like filming event. We need to see how he reacts with like everyone else around. This is crucial.
Yes, yes. It's crucial.
Okay, so Michelle's cocktail party, everyone starts talking about this Porsche that David bought Dolores, and you're the only one who speaks up to defend the gift. So what is going on here? Why does everyone have an issue with this Porsche? A Porsche is a nice gift.
I think everybody tries to make something out of nothing. Well, she wanted a ring. Well, this isn't a consolation prize, and that's the way they were trying to make it out. Right. And I didn't feel that way. I was like, it's a beautiful gift. A woman of a certain age doesn't need, a diamond doesn't solidify anything.
Right.
It's not such a statement. It doesn't mean, it's just a ring. And and he bought her a beautiful gift. So I don't know why we were insulting it or why people were insulting it and trying to, everybody could have just said, hey, that's a nice gift. So nice for Dolores. And everybody read into it. So I felt bad about it. I was like, because it just was very disappointing. That's all. And I just didn't like it. I just didn't like that everybody was making it into something it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, it started to snowball a little bit, right? Because Melissa and Michelle start taking this poll. At first, it's just a few of them. Then Michelle calls over her husband and they're taking this poll. Like, is this a stalling tactic? So as much as there was gossiping going on, do you think it was all actually coming from a good place? Like that they were just thinking about Dolores's well-being?
Well, what is... you know what? They were her well-being. So say if it was, say just for argument's sake, what is the well-being? Right. She's not out in the street. She doesn't need a man to make her happy. What is the ring going to signify? So you're in big deal.
Right.
What does that mean?
Right. She does have like three homes that she's living between. So she seems to be doing all right.
She's to run a benefit for Dolores. She doesn't need a man to make her happy. A ring is just a ring. It's a piece of jewelry.
Yeah. No, that's true. And she says that at the end, because we do see by the end of the party, everyone really starts going in on Dolores. We have Joe Gorga over here. He's saying she's in denial. She's a broken woman. And you are like, Joe, you're being a chauvinist. So she ends up storming out. Like, how did we get to this point where everything just like came to a head?
It came to a head. I think Joe was maybe, he was projecting a tiny bit.
Yeah.
I think she was broken. I think because that's the way he would maybe feel if, you know, his relationship, if something happened. And I think he was projecting a little bit, and his choice of words were not the best and it was hurtful. So I was trying to shut it down, and it went left, and it was very upsetting. I felt bad for Dolores, and then she was offended. It wasn't a good scenario. And I feel like I'm comfortable enough with Joe Gorga. I spend enough time with him that I could say that. I mean, calling someone a chauvinist, you know, his choice of words were chauvinistic that night.
Right, right. But yes, and that's not perhaps the first time his choice of words have been chauvinistic. So, you know.
Yes, and I think people try and say, well, it's old school. Well, you know, it's old school. Women weren't able to vote for a long time. That was old school.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we got to put that to bed, I think, at this
certain
point.
I think old school is just not a term that should be used anymore.
I also felt bad for Frank Catania, because that's who he's referencing this whole time. So poor Frank is like just trying to eat some meatballs in the corner. And, you know, Joe's being like, you destroyed Dolores. You know, I mean, come on, poor Frank.
I know. And Frank, I think, has made amends, and their relationship is beautiful. And people do change. And I think Frank has grown as a man, and he's very sensitive and very sweet. And he has changed.
Yeah. People love Frank.
You know, it's quite evident. And I think, Joe Gorga, after, I think everybody's going to see, you know, he's worked on himself as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, he's practically the seventh housewife on the show. So like we hope to see some growth.
Yes. Everybody grows.
Well, speaking of growth and everything that's happened this season going into the reunion, what issues are you hoping to get resolved? Like, are you going in with a mindset of like, this is what I need to address?
I think there's a lot of addressing of myself and Jennifer, truthfully, because I do think we still come from such a different place. I think she doesn't understand when I tell her to read the room. She thinks that I'm hard on her. I think I expect women of a certain age to be accountable for their behaviors. I think even though we come from different places, I think anytime I say anything to her, she looks as if like I'm judging her. I'm not. I think I'm, you know, her thinking that I was mom shaming her, it had nothing to do with that whatsoever.
Right.
You know, because if anybody champions women, it's me and stay at home moms and women who want to choose to work or not to work. I mean, Lexi comes to work with Nino every day.
Right.
I don't think anybody values mothers, you know, in the public eye just as much as I do. I mean, I was a stay at home mom. Anything women want to do. And I think just flip it that way is even more insulting. I just look at it as just when you say, you know, our value system is different. When I was talking about Bill, and I did make a flippant comment, I'm not going to lie, it's about she values the fact of the material things that brings her, and it's all in her tip.
Right, that is true.
and I think that's really what it is. And I think when it's tried to be flipping that I'm shaming mothers, I think that's very offensive to me.
Right.
For some, you know, and everyone trusts me again, and she knows I have children.
Yeah.
And she knows I have a natural born son. So to make something out that it's not is very offensive. No, it's not the point I'm trying to make. And to twist words to make it you appear better is also very offensive. I think there's a lot going into the reunion that has to be addressed with everybody.
Yeah. Well, do you think going into the reunion, it seems like Teresa and Jackie are in a much better place at this point this season, but I'm sure they're going to have to discuss everything that went down with Evan and Gia and all of that. So how do you think that's going to go?
I think it's going to ignite once again.
Yeah.
Their feelings are going to come up, and hopefully it could be really resolved. I think Therese is in a much happier place, so I hope that she goes in a much better place.
That's true. Yeah.
And yeah, because, and sees, I mean, I doubt she would want anything, you know, to ever hurt her relationship. So I think, you know, hopefully she'll see that, and I hopefully she'll be very mild.
Yeah, but not too mild, because we do want some action.
Not too mild. No, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, of course. We know Teresa. We know mild Teresa. You know, and we'll take it.
Yes, exactly. Mild Teresa is still a good show.
So your book, it's out. It's in the world. How does it feel?
It feels amazing, because I would say our people know 25-30% of my life from the show.
Right.
Right. I had a whole life prior to the show. There's things that we don't cover. We don't cover my marriage prior to the show, my children, how I actually built my business, everything I've been through, you know, growing up with Marc Singer. So all of those things. And I've had 5 lives before I got on this show, and the transition of becoming the woman I am today. So I think people are going to, you know, they're loving the book. It's exciting, and it feels so good. I mean, it was like a lifelong therapy session.
Right. Absolutely. And what do you think people will end up responding to? Because obviously we do know the topics that you're going to touch on in the book from the show, but what do you expect people are going to respond to the most in your book?
I think they're going to respond to just that the resilience of it all, and just that, you know, that people can reinvent themselves and not be a victim, and just the, you know, that you can, if I can do it, you can do it, you know?
Right.
And that's really what it is, that it doesn't matter where you come from.
Yeah.
And everybody's not from the Lucky Sperm Club. And that if you want something in life, don't let fear hold you back.
Yeah. I love
And
that.
I think it's going to be inspiring to a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to read it, because I want to know a lot more about, you know, Jan, and hear more about your kids, because that is stuff that we haven't really gotten to see on the show. So I'm so excited to read it.
Yes. I mean, all the names are changed. And I change a lot of other names also to protect the guilty, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Of course. You have to. I mean, you know.
You have to.
Awesome. Well, Margaret, thank you so much for chatting with me today. It's always such a pleasure. I love when we get to hang out.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. And I can't wait for the reunion.
Oh. Yeah, me too. And I can't wait till we can be together in person.
I know. Soon, Margaret. Soon.
Thanks, Lovey. Soon. Right.
Talk to you soon. Hi to Joe.
Thanks, babe. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
Okay, I'm going to jump the gun a little bit and talk about Real Housewives of New York City.
Ooh.
Because first of all, I'm so excited for it to come back, and it's coming back so soon. But also because all of the previews went up on BravoTV.com, and one of them is Luann moving into, she has the new apartment and Ramona's over, and she's like, guess whose balcony you can see from my window. And it's Tom's.
I can't even believe it.
Wait, so you're not gonna believe this. So I'm looking for an apartment, right? And I see this, right? I walk in, I'm like, the ceilings,
everything
it looks amazing. I'm like, I'll take it, right? The view's great, whatever.
And your furniture fit perfectly.
Well, guess what? Come with me.
No, what are you gonna show me? I don't know if I'm ready for this.
So I'm standing here, I'm literally waiting for the movers to walk in. And I look and I go, oh my.
No! No!
That's Tom's Terrace! Terrace.
No!
Tom's Terrace!
Holy sh! There! I can't.
Oh, you don't even need binoculars!
Oh my God!
You don't even need a telescope! Can you believe it? And it's like, it's like right in my view.
Come on! You can play.
I was in shock.
I'm in shock.
The good news is I know when he's in town because the lights are on or they're not. So now I know the light's on, I won't be going to the Regency.
Hey, Tom. See you later.
So she is neighbors with Tom. It's so crazy. And just,
I mean,
yeah.
It's one thing to be a neighbor, like, oh, we live in the same building, but to be able to see his balcony.
See who he brings out there.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Like, I don't know if that's a good thing
right.
for Luann.
I know. But it was funny because she says in the preview, you know, at least now I know he's in town and I should avoid the Regency. So
that's true. That's true. Maybe when we get our drinks for the first time after a year of not seeing each other, we should go to the Regency.
Oh my God. Wait, are we doing that soon? We have to.
Yeah, we should. I'm double vaxxed now, okay? I'm all in. I'm almost to my freedom day, so.
Oh my God. Well, tell me when it is your freedom day.
Okay, May 6th.
Because I'm fully vaxxed, ready to go. Ready to go.
Ready to party. Okay, my rose was Danny's emotional breakdown on Below Deck Sailing Yacht, because who hasn't had that moment in the last year of just like, what am I doing?
What am I doing with my life?
Yes. And she was, I think she said she's 32, like it's right around my age. And just with the ups and downs and the COVID of it all and the social unrest, like all of it combined, you know, you take a step back sometimes and you're just like, what does it all mean? So it was just funny to see that. And I totally relate. And I think we've all had that moment. So you're not alone, Danny. Okay, what was your thorn?
I guess my thorn was kind of, you know, the ending of Dallas. I have so loved watching certain parts of this season, but I just felt like we kind of ended on a not great note. You know, it was just a little depressing watching like Carrie and Brandy being drunk and sort of destroying this house that they were staying in. Kind of the way we ended like on Brandy and her husband, the note, the like what's going to happen with them. And I don't know. It just, I'm excited for the reunion, but there was something that just wasn't great about the finale, I felt.
Well, my thorn is From Below Deck Sailing Yacht, and it's Colin's dog passing away so unexpectedly.
Oh, God, that was sad.
And he wasn't there to be by the dog's side and be with his girlfriend. And it's just so horrible when you see these things happen to people on the Below Deck shows when they are so far away from their families. They're just thousands and thousands of miles away, and these real life things happen. It always hurts to watch them go through that. And then especially when it's a dog, everyone is always so sensitive to animals, you know, and when things happen to their pets. So just watching him go through that, you know, getting the news at the beginning of the episode, like middle of the episode, and then getting the news at the end that they had to actually put him down is just so sad.
So sad.
And we'll be back with an all new episode next week.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me one more time.
At McDonald's, we're always working to build on our Happy Meal. Which is why we're giving your little ones the choice of a book or toy and are ditching hard plastic toys altogether. And why we've recycled old toys into one of McDonald House Charity's playgrounds. In fact, we're building one right now. Sorry for the noise.
Participating restaurants only, served from 11 a.m.